Psalm 127. Today is our parent baby dedication service. Had this service before, and we don't just call it a baby dedication service because we can say all we want to and what we want for our children, but if parents aren't dedicated, let's just say we need parents who are dedicated to raising their children for the Lord. Psalm 127, having a newborn baby is a life-changing experience. No matter how many children you have, the Lord blesses with another child. It's something you'll never forget. It's we call those blessed memories. Those are wonderful things. There's always some excitement, I guess the surprise of things, is with Alex. I'll never forget the day he was born. We had gone to the doctor that night. The doctor said you got at least a week to 2 weeks before the baby's coming. My dad was actually out camping with the Salees. They were out at Stone Lake. So Stacy and I went down there and we hung out with them. Well, went home that night and went to bed about 4 a.m. She told me the baby's coming, and I wasn't ready for that because the doctor said we still had a week, and I wasn't ready. All right, and so it was our first, and I panicked bad, and we hopped in the car, we zoomed through Blanchester down 28, got to the highway, and it was stopped. I mean, there wasn't a car moving on 275. And Stacy started crying, and the gas gauge lit up and said, "You're out of gas." And I thought, the baby's going to be born in the car, and I have no idea what I'm going to do. And I just pulled over, and I called 911. And they came and took her in an ambulance, and they off she went, and they left me. And I was like, I'm going to miss it now. And it was bad. Well, we didn't know, just had about 14 hours. But I was scared, all right? But it was, never forget it. When Grace, when there was time for her to come, we were actually at Chick-fil-A, and my wife said, "Baby's coming," and I was like, "Oh," and now it's odd. Grace does not like Chick-fil-A, so to this day, so I don't know what it is, but it was, we caused quite the stir at Chick-fil-A that day too, but it's exciting, it's wonderful, and Hope, they scheduled her, so that was pretty easy. Again, you'll never forget with every one of those children when they were born, the first time you hold them in your arms, it's life-changing. You realize how precious and fragile, and that God had trusted you with this child. It's a wonderful thing. Never forget, whenever Alex was born, he was over there, they were cleaning him up, and he was over there underneath that lamp, and he was screaming his head off, and I walked over there, and I said, "Alex," and he quit crying and looked at me. We had spoken a lot before he was born. Amen. Those who would say that a child in the womb is not a living person, they're a fool. That baby recognized his daddy's voice. He stopped and looked at his dad. Life begins at conception. That life is an eternal soul. We as parents have an awesome responsibility in preparing this child for life. We're going to have couples come at the end of the invitation. They're going to bring their child. We're going to have a time of prayer and dedication, not just for the child, but for the parents, that we might understand our God-given responsibility. Seems like sometimes having a child brings people closer to God for a while. Life becomes predominantly concerned about safety for the child. Isn't it amazing? Lord's blessed us with 3 children. When Alex came along, there was safety locks. He had to have, security codes to get an aspirin. You know what I mean? I mean, everything, you can't plug in anything in the house because you got to go in with a crowbar and get those plastic things out of the light sockets. You do all this stuff and, you got poison controls numbers sitting there and the doctors and everything's right there. And I mean, when the child sneezes, you're like, ah, you panic and I understand all these things. And then now that Hope's around, you're just like, about cut her finger off. It'll heal. It's good. All right. You learn, all right? You get more comfortable in these things. But when that first child comes, people get so concerned for the child. A lot of times parents will quit smoking because they don't want the child to have problems. They'll put locks on their cabinets. Still, you have to get a ladder to be able to get to the medicine. You can't plug in anything in the house. And all these emotions kick in and people get concerned. Is my child going to be safe? I am all for taking care of the safety of our children, but not just physically, but even more should we be concerned and engaged in taking care of our children spiritually, protecting them, bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord. In Psalm 127, let's stand and respect the Word of God if you're able to, and let's read the Scriptures this morning. Psalm 127 and verse number 1 says this: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, I pray that you take this message this morning. Thank you for every mom and dad who's here today with the purpose of their concern for their newborn child. Thank you for all the guests that are here. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word and to give counsel from a book that is perfectly true, without error. Father, a book that we can build upon this foundation and rear our children with promises of blessings from you. And I pray now that you take this message, pray that you lift up your Son and your word, hide me. May folks only listen to your Spirit who will be speaking. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, there's many religions that will have a baby dedication or a baby baptism. It's a practice that's believed by some to wash away what they call the original sin, and to make that baby part of the family of God. And the reason why they do that is to try to remove the parents' fears that if the child, something were to happen to the child, that the child would not go to heaven. Now, we do not baptize babies. And I'll show you why in the Scriptures this morning. But what does God's Word say about dedicating our children and us as parents to the service of the King? Well, number one, before we get into the Scriptures, let me give you the purpose of today's service. The purpose of today's service. First, I want to talk to you about the safety of that child. Because you understand, a lot of these religions they'll bring the baby up and they'll bring some water out of a little cup. They'll sprinkle it on their head. They'll say some things and try to make the parents feel like, well, my child is safe now. Here's good news. Your child was safe before that. Your child's safe right now. Matter of fact, if you keep your finger here, but go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. In 2 Samuel, back a few pages, 2 Samuel chapter number 12, and in verse number 16. David, he had a child, a baby. And this child was sick. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, in chapter number 12, and verse number 16, it says, David therefore besought God for the child. The baby was sick. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up for the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with him. And it came to pass on the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he will not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child's dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou dost fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou dost rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he's dead." Now listen real close. "Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David knew, and it's recorded in scriptures by the Holy Spirit, that that child had died. But that child was in a place where David was one day going to join the child. That child was in a place, what we would call today, heaven. That child, when a baby dies, by the way, you'll not find anywhere in scripture that they went and they tried to baptize this baby. They didn't try to do something special for this baby. The baby was sick. David prayed, he fasted, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, because he said, "God, if it's your will, would you please spare this child? Please restore his health." And he wouldn't get up. His servants tried to get him up. He wouldn't even move. And when he found out the baby died, he got up, cleansed himself, he went and worshiped God, and he sat down and ate. And his servant said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because I can't bring the child to me, but I can go to where that child is." That child was not able to make a decision for itself. It didn't have the ability. But a baby, because we serve a perfectly just and loving God, a baby is safe. A child is safe. There will come a day when every child grows and they'll reach an age whenever they understand, "I am now accountable for my life." So what happens to a child if they die before that time? They are safe in the love of God. Say, why would you say that? Because the Bible says so. Because David said, "That's where my child is." And if David said that and the Holy Spirit recorded it, my friend, that we can have faith in the same thing also. We can have a promise here. David did nothing special to that baby. There was no baptism, no dedication, no religious service ever recorded that David had. But he had confidence that one day he'd be with that child again someday. There are many in the auditorium this morning. I know you've shared, you've had children, babies who have died. There's some who've had miscarriages. Because I believe that life begins upon conception. Those children are in glory waiting for us someday. Safe in the love of the Lord. So there's safety. What I'm doing today and what we'll do as a church today has nothing to do with whether this child goes to heaven or not. They are safe in the love of God. They will one day get to a place where they understand and have the ability to make a decision for themselves, just like you and I have that ability this morning. But for now, they're safe in the love of God. And we praise the Lord for that. But I do want to say this before I go on. David knew, because where his faith was, that he would see the child again. My friend, if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do not have the promise of going to heaven someday. But I'm not here to tell you bad news. I'm here to tell you good news. The Lord Jesus Christ loves everyone so much, He gave Himself for everyone. He died upon the cross for the sins of the whole world. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. There must come a time in your life when you realize, and by the way, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, a child can understand this. When you realize that I am a sinner, but Christ died for me. While I can't get to heaven on my own, I can trust in what Christ has done for me. And if you ask Christ to save your soul, I promise you this, He will save your soul. There is none who the Lord will say no to. Because He's not willing that any should perish. If you will go to the Lord, He said, He will in no wise cast you out. And we praise the Lord for that. So there's safety, so we don't have to worry about that. So why are we here today? Well, because we have to talk about the sin nature of the baby. The sin nature. Now, there is a short period of time when that child, right now, for those who will pray with this morning, that child is really no conscience between good and evil. But every parent, I guarantee, you know, I saw Brother Chris and Shannon walk in, they're holding that precious little girl. But they're already starting to catch on, she can be sneaky sometimes. Huh, Chris? Yeah, all right, yeah. You know, Jordan and Christina, they'll come up here today. And you know, Malachi, you know, I'm sure he's perfect, right? He never, yeah, all right. I know his parents, so I know that's not true, all right? Every parent who will come up here today, you've already got to realize the baby's like, ah, and you're like, something's terribly wrong. And you pick it up, it's like, I'm happy. It was lying. Babies, we don't have to train them to do wrong. Jessie's sitting over here, she'll never have to sit and try to teach her little girl how to tell a lie. She'll just do that someday, all right? Because that's the way we human beings are. We have what is called a sin nature. We are all born sinners. The Bible says, ever since Adam, for by one man, whenever he sinned, death came as a result of that sin, and that death and that sin nature has been passed on to everyone since Adam. Every one of us were born sinners. Every one of us are natural in our flesh. We are sinners. And we deal with our sin, and because we are sinners, Romans 5:12 says, is therefore we have the penalty of death to deal with. So what should we teach them? Well, that's our third purpose in being here today is this, because we want to teach them, number one, salvation. That child will grow someday and be able to understand. There are people in this auditorium, all at different ages and different times of life, when God opened your eyes and you saw and you were able to make a choice. And I'm not about to start pointing fingers and say exactly what day that is, because I believe that every person is different. But I'll say this, that you start teaching them immediately. Eli, he read about him today in the bulletin. They asked him what his favorite song is. He began to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Where did he learn that from? Somebody else started singing it too, right? Yeah. Why do we teach him that song? Because there's a lesson there. I remember with our children, my wife would be teaching them a memory verse, and they couldn't even talk yet. She would constantly hold Alex and say, God is love. I don't remember. But my mom says, and I believe her, that just moments after I was born, she held me in her arms and gave to me the entire gospel on how to be saved. Now, I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't make any type of decision. But we have a responsibility to teach our children that salvation is through the Lord. That salvation, the only way to heaven, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach them this. There will come a time, just like with Timothy. Remember young Timothy? He had a mother and a grandmother who loved him and wanted him to be saved. And they taught him. And the Bible says that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. You know what our responsibility is to teach these children when Alex is being held by my wife and she said, God is love. When my mother held me just minutes old and told me about how to be saved, why are we doing these things? Because we're teaching them and making that a practice in our life that they might learn to know the love of God. Learn to know how much that God loves us and sent His Son for us. Learn to know about how they can be saved. Learning the lessons of the Scriptures. And just like Timothy, someday, all of a sudden your mind's going to say, wait, that's me. The Scriptures make you wise unto salvation. And the scriptures, all of a sudden, all this teaching, just like he did in young Timothy's life, and he says, wait, I need this. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, yes, you do. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, God wants you to be saved, son. God wants you to be saved. You must learn to, you must call upon the Lord Jesus. You're the one that needs to make this decision. And all of a sudden, all that teaching, mom and dad, and I think might be able to get an amen here. All that teaching and all that time, when that child puts their faith in Christ, it's worth every moment of it. And I'll never in my life forget preaching in January about salvation, and no one came forward, and I preached that night on salvation, and I just extended the invitation, and I knelt down on that seat, and I began to pray and ask God to speak to hearts. All of a sudden, there's a tug on my pant leg, and I turned around, and Alex was standing there. And I leaned over, and Alex said, Dad, I need to get saved. Every moment of, son, God is love. Every moment of the Lord loves you, it's worth every bit of it. Yeah. Teach them. By the way, mom and dad, you're teaching them something. You say, well, I'm not going to teach this stuff. Well, then you're teaching them something. Number four, the reason we're here today, I'm going to use the word sanctification of the baby. It's in no way some spiritual process, but what we're saying is this. We're going to set this child apart because we have a desire for God to use this child. We're not going to baptize them. Acts chapter number 8, there was a person that said this. They said, all right, talking to, Philip, said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, I want to get baptized. And the evangelist looked at him and said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. A baby can't believe with all their heart and make a decision on salvation. So therefore, the what is required for baptism, a baby can't meet. By the way, I don't want to bore you this morning, but where infant baptism first came from was the Roman Emperor, Emperor Valens, in 370 A.D. His baby was dying, and so he made the Catholic Church come in and baptize his baby so that his baby could go to heaven. And thus began infant baptism. It was never a biblical thing to do. The only reason it was begun is because a priest cared for his life and didn't want the emperor killing him. What is biblical is that someone makes a decision to trust in the Lord with their heart and then they get baptized. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything He did for us was for a what? A reason and an example. Even the Lord got baptized. Why? Because everyone, after they believe, should be baptized. That is a biblical thing to do. So what we're doing, we're not baptizing, we're not doing that, but what we're doing is kind of like what a lady by the name of Hannah did in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. She came and she desperately wanted a child. She had no children. And she prayed and she prayed and she wept and she wept. So people all around her kind of thought the lady was loony. I mean, she was laying there saying, oh God, please! And even the words weren't coming out of her mouth. Her mouth was moving and people, it was obviously making such a stir. Everyone was taking notice of this lady who was just praying and praying and praying. And they thought, she's lost it. And finally, Eli walked up to her and said, you know, can I help you? And she said, I desperately want a child. And if God will give me a child, I will take that child and give him to the Lord. God blessed her with a child. His name is Samuel. He's one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. But what she did was she said, I'm going to give him to the Lord. What every parent today, I hope your heart's desire is this. I want my child to be given to the Lord. I want my child to learn the ways of God. I want my child, understand, dads, we have that responsibility. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's our responsibility. But that's why we don't just call this a baby dedication. It's a parent dedication. Mom and dad, don't send your children to church. Bring your children to church. Mom and dad, don't just tell them about how to live a good life. Live a good life in front of them. Show them these things with your life. Any of us can put on a show this morning. Any of us can walk through a routine this morning. And understand that there's nothing magical about some prayer we're going to pray with you, but I hope it's your heart's intent. That I want my child, I want God's richest blessings upon that child, but I understand that that will only come if I, as dad and mom, am willing to do my part in investing in this child. We've got some nice pictures down here on the communion table worthy of framing. And every family today, I'm going to ask that they walk by and they write their child's name on this and sign it at the bottom that says, I am deciding today to dedicate my life and giving my child to the Lord. And I want God's richest blessing upon my child. It needs that. So what's our plan? Back in Psalm 127. It's our purpose of why we're here. So what's our plan? Look at real quick in Psalm 127, just a few things. Number one, you see the requirement. Here's the requirement. It says in verse number one, except the Lord build the house. Later on in the verse, it says, except the Lord keep the city. Folks, the number one requirement is this. We have to have God. We cannot do it without the Lord. Listen, I love church. I am big on church. I am big on church doctrine. I love local church. I love the importance of the local church. But just sitting in this building on a Sunday will not do anything for your family. If you do not have God's presence working in your life, if you are not submitted to God in your daily living, if you do not have a heart's desire to please God with your life, anyone can come and sit on a pew every week, but you have to decide in your life, I want my faith to be more than an hour on a Sunday. I want it to be my life. Without the Lord doing it, it's in vain. Everything we'll do today is in vain except the Lord. Except the Lord. May He be in charge of our life. May He be in charge of our home. May He be in charge of building and guarding. You know, when the Lord's in charge, just like the verse says, you don't have to sit up and worry all night. Isn't that great? I mean, I have a teenager now. It's hard to believe. I have a teenager now. And I give all the glory to God, and I don't know what rough roads lie ahead of us. Whatever it is, by God's grace, we'll get through it. But I know this, that I've not one time had to lay up at night wondering where my son was, what's he doing, what's he getting into. I'm glad I haven't had to sit up late worrying about him or get up real early looking for him. I'm thankful for that, and I give the glory to God for that. It's all because of God's grace. But my point is this, I and Stacy can't do that. We need God. We need God. Folks, you need the Lord's control in your life. Number two, you see, there's a reward. When we do this, there's a reward. In verse number three, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are not a nuisance. Children are a gift. They are a reward that God has entrusted us with. That child that you're holding in your arms this morning, mom and dad, what a gift from God they are. Praise the Lord for it. I've seen before even Christian parents in churches say things like, my children are always on my nerves. I just want to get rid of my children or this or that. That's sad. That's an ungodly, worldly philosophy. Man, love your children. They're a gift from God. And you see a resource in verse number four. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I'll just say this. It's amazing what God can do with your children. When you as a parent say, God, here they are. I give them to you, but at the same time, hear me, I yield myself to you. Use me to train up this child in the way he should go. I submit my life, I yield myself to you, and I need you, God. And you'll be amazed what God can do with those children. We have no idea the future that lies ahead of them. But I do know this, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Folks, these young children, God can use them in great ways. Some are teeny little arrows, some are larger arrows. But they all, when put in the right hand, can do amazing things. Give them to God. And then you see rejoicing in verse number 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's joy. You know, John, the apostle, he wrote and he said these words. He said, I have no greater joy. You know, and this is something for this man to say. Do you realize what this man has seen in his life? Do you realize what all John had done with his life? The places he has been, the things he has done. He has seen people saved, hundreds of people saved. He has seen miracles of God. He helped pass out all the lunch that God broke up and fed 5,000 people with. I mean, here's a man that saw amazing things and would lean close upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the disciple who Jesus loved. I mean, this man, he was taken in places. He lived longer than any other apostle. He ended up doing some amazing things. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Yeah, right. Mom and Dad, when it comes to the end of your life, and you're about to exit this place, cars and boats and jobs are not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter in your life is your family. When Hezekiah was about to die, King Hezekiah, God said, Hezekiah, your days are numbered. You're going to die. And He didn't say, put your kingdom in order. He didn't say, get your bank account in order. He didn't say, get your will together. He said, Hezekiah, put your house in order. When it comes to the end, Mom and Dad, the only thing that really matters, and the only thing that will give us joy, is knowing that our children are walking in truth. Yeah. I said it this morning in Sunday school, and you know, a lot of people say words like this, well, long as my child grows up and doesn't murder anybody. Is that really your goal? Well, as long as they never rob a bank. Well, that's nice. Say, well, what should be my goal? That my child walk in truth. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say what job they had. I didn't say how big a bank account they have. I did not say they drive a much nicer car than I do. All I want for my children is that they're walking in truth. And someday, I promise you this, it'll be worth everything you invest to see that child walking in truth. So our responsibility, parents, is to take our God-ordained role, to take it seriously. And say, God, here I am. Use me. Here's my child. I want His richest blessings upon its life. If you're not saved today, my friend, except the Lord do it, it's in vain. The Lord loves you so much, He gave Himself for you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Even you, Mom and Dad, you were born just like that baby you're holding in your hands. You were born a sinner. You're a cute sinner, but you're a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Since we've all sinned, we all deserve death. And if that verse had a period right there, we'd all have to just close our books and go home and be sad. But the verse says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift was His only Son who came and died for us. And if today you've never done it, you'll say, God, I want Your blessings upon our home. Be you a guest today. Be you a mom and dad today with a child. Whatever the role may be, whether it's the first time you ever heard this, I want you to know God loves you. And God sent His Son to die for you. And the Lord will save you today. if you'll say, you know what, I want to go to heaven. And I'm trusting in what Jesus did for me on the cross.